Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex, Justin, and Pete.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And that's our Man in the Moon, Bookman Prime.
Bookman Prime.
And guys, I don't want to belabor this too much. Pete's a little concerned about
time. He's antsy. Pete's antsy. He's got ants in his pants.
Ants in the pants.
He's got ants in the pants. But if it's okay with you guys, I have a short monologue that I prepared.
Here, we can grab a seat.
Play Hamlet by Shakespeare.
Oh, good.
By William Shakespeare. Yes. When I say a monologue, it's the entire play. It is a one-man version. It should only take a few short hours. Is that all right with you, Pete?
We don't have the time, asshole.
All right. Wow. Then I will perform a monologue from A Midsummer Night's Dream.
It's a bit shorter.
It's the full play.
Yes, of course, it's the full play.
It's not a monologue.
All the world's a stage and all of our lines are just one part of a monologue.
Yes, exactly. That's fine with you, Pete, right?
Nope.
Okay. I'm a little pissed because you're sort of eating my lunch with the action stuff. <All right.
laughs> Okay, well, I'm going to perform a few action sequences from Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah, good.
I'd love to see this.
That's what he does in the movie.
I will say you are using her whole body.
I was watching Disney Plus today, and they edited a bunch of scenes of Captain America just dancing like this.
Yeah, no, it's very
just
cool.
Just doing the Elvis twist.
You got a real jello bone thing happening.
Speaking of real jello bone, very excited about our guest tonight. Doesn't want us to call this, but it's true. He is the president of the Joe Kubert School. Ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Marquez.
Yeah. So great.
Welcome back.
Come on.
Welcome back.
Hello.
Thank you for coming. Have a seat.
Look at this.
Come on down. So, Anthony.
Oh, nice.
Welcome back to the show. So comfortable,
that.
Right?
This is an upgrade.
Thank you.
I've seen the prior sets.
We used to sit on a pickle barrel.
Yes, that's right.
you were here from the beginning, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, we always talk about this each time. But
I know.
I was booth man number one.
Yeah.
Golden age booth man.
On my head. And look at you now, fallen so far. You are...
Yep, you used to be the president,
the top of the game.
The president of the booth.
Yes. But now you're the president of the Joe Kubert School. That's huge. How did that come about? How did that happen?
I'm very good friends with the Kuberts. I've known the family for a very long
time.
You went to school there.
Yes. I went to school there, started off there, was actually the security guard, used to bother Joe Kubert all the time. Then I worked my way up into being the convention coordinator. Then I became an instructor, but also I was an editor at DC Comics. I was an editor at Dynamite. I've drawn for everywhere except for Marvel. Thanks a lot, Marvel.
Wow. Take down.
Shots fired.
That's crazy. You started as a security guard, and now you run the joint.
That's right. Worked my way all
the way up. Yeah, that's true anywhere. I actually started as a security guard for Comic Book Club, the podcast.
That's true.
And I've worked my way up to this seat.
And thank you. You took more than one bullet for me.
Anytime.
You're a hero.
It was really just the security guard job was the best job ever.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it just gave me extra access to Joe and really getting to...
So you'd break into his office.
All the time. No, okay. But it was great because, you know, as an artist and you're going to the Kubert School, you're there to get better.
Right.
So to be able to see Joe in the hallway, you know, at the end of the day, there was nobody else there. I'm like, hey, would you mind taking a look at my pages? Would you give me some more advice? And Joe was always wonderful. I would say, come on in. And he would throw a piece of tracing paper right down on top of it. And it was more like just watching what he was doing was incredible because it's just muscle for him. You know, he was just doing it. But it was so beautiful and it was incredible to see. But Joe was always very gracious with his time and making sure that the students got the best education that they could get. And that's what we're trying to continue on now. So,
now, do you see a security guard there now?
Yeah, we have a security guard.
And are you like, hey, kid,
yeah,
watch your back.
We have a really talented, a lot of the students are very talented that are there. We have a great security guard now, though. His name's AJ, very, very talented, awesome with 3D modeling. So we're trying to get him a job at DC Comics to get into the working on toys and all the sort of sculpting that's involved with that.
That's cool.
It's really cool. We all want to help each other. That's the thing, because it's important that everyone succeeds at the school. You know, it keeps it going.
So just to take a massive step back, this probably is obvious for everybody listening, but the Joe Kubert School is a school for artists based in...
Dover, New Jersey. It's been there for 44 years, going on 45. Started in 1976 by Joe Kubert and his wife, Muriel. And it was based off of a need for people wanting to get into the industry. Joe recognized that and started it up, and it started off with 26 students, and then it grew into what it is today with just about 100 students.
Well. Yeah, so as president, what are your daily responsibilities? What do you do?
I just show up and I say, great job. No.
That's what the actual president does.
The U.S. president does that.
Yeah. Well, maybe not the great job part. But,
yeah.
No, I oversee everything that goes on a day-to-day basis. I'm involved in all the teachers' meetings, working on the updated curriculum. As simple as, hey, we need to get a tree removed. You know, it's just...
Did you have a tree growing in the middle of the school?
Yeah. Actually, the school used to be much larger than what it is now. So back in around 2006, 2005, they actually cut the school in half, but they did have a center area where there was a tree that grew through the center.
Wow.
I know, it's boring.
And then you ground it up and made it into comic book pages.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now that's we have our cool. own Kubert School paper.
Oh, nice. Yeah. What, other than that, though, you work at the Kubert School, you also run a comic book shop still, right?
Yes, and I also own Dewey's Comic City in Madison, New Jersey. That's a wonderful comic shop. That's been around for 28 years. That was owned by a prior guy named Dan Veltri. Fantastic shop owner, really was into making sure that it was family friendly and getting people to come in, and wonderful independent section just across the board, and we've really carried that on as well.
Cool.
So cool. So busy.
Oh, Pete, where are you?
And you also somehow have a family, and there's time for that. I mean, you are doing way too much stuff, bro.
Yep, I got two little ones. I got two kids. And then I have a great wife, and it's awesome. My daughter's turned 6 years old yesterday, so that was fantastic.
You are
Happy
all
birthday.
Grows up.
And you're like, I can't be there tonight.
I can't see. I can't tuck you in. I'm sorry.
Did you want to jump up in the booth for a minute?
I'll do whatever you need. So yeah, that's great.
Sorry, Booth Man Prime, you're out.
No. We love you.
Just
So you have been working on comic books for a while. Are you still working on that side of the industry, or you move towards
yes.
the president running things?
So I'm going to be doing a 5-issue Green Hornet series for Dynamite.
What the fuck, man?
Out.
Holy shit.
But we're really, I love being busy.
I guess so.
It's a lot of times when people
do do like coke or something? Like, how are you just like so?
I love work. I love to create. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite thing. I love coming up with ideas and just trying to just go. I don't particularly enjoy
sorry
watching
to interrupt.
TV shows.
It's interesting that he didn't say yes or no to the coke.
No, I do not.
He would be this successful and then still. Yeah. So yeah.
But no, I just like to work. My wife is the same way. We both enjoy working. She's involved heavily with the school as well.
Aww.
So we're always working together, and it's great. I mean, we're all in it together. It's like the greatest team ever. We just work nonstop, and but it's great because we get to be with each other all the time.
Now, since it is like a art school, students apply there, do they also have to submit artwork?
There's a whole process.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I know for like college, I had to write an essay and also give them a shit ton of money. I'm just wondering if it's a school for comics. Like, do you say this is the stuff that I've read and I feel like I should go here, or how does it work?
Real quick, could you read your college essay for us?
Yeah. No, I don't have it memorized.
What was it about?
To Pete's point, can I submit a bunch of receipts from Midtown Comics and just get into the school?
No.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No. So what you do have to do is you have to apply for the school. You have to submit a portfolio.
No.
You need to write an essay as well.
Ooh.
Why you're interested in the school, why you want to go there, et cetera, et cetera. And what we do is we schedule an interview with you, and we review your portfolio. And we want to make sure that you have the basic understanding of what it takes to be a comic artist or a commercial artist. A lot of people get into this field just because they think that this is just something to do, you know, just to kind of pass the time. But it's very intensive. It's challenging, but it's worth doing. It's a wonderful profession. And I think that there's so many different avenues now for people to get into where it's not just thinking of DC and Marvel. I mean, there's the whole book market that you can aim for now. The independent section is ever expanding with things like Kickstarter and Indiegogo. That's exploding more and more every day. So I think that there's so many different ways of doing this and making it a full-time profession, and it's a wonderful time to get into it.
How does it work when someone graduates and they're like, now what do I do? And you the options you laid out there, do you connect them with the people in that, or are you like, yes, here's how you do it?
Yeah, so we overhauled all of our business classes as well. We tried to build up your portfolio, resumes, how do you reach out to these different companies. But what we also do is we bring these companies to the school. So DC, nice. Marvel, Valiant, IDW, Archie, all the major comic companies come out. Plus, we also have things like Hallmark or, you know, different advertising companies that will reach out to the school. And we set it up so this way they can come on out, interview the students, do portfolio reviews as well, and actually hire them right there if it works out. Wow.
Do you have, without putting you too much on the spot, do you have a higher rate? A higher rate, like amount of people who get jobs out of the school?
95%.
Wow. Oh, wow. Shit.
That's great. Pretty high.
Yeah. You can check. We have to actually list the number of people that actually get work for accreditation purposes, and we're at 95%.
Wow.
Congratulations. Oh, my God. That is very high.
If somebody was going to apply for the school, what's your number one tip? What's the first thing they need to be thinking about?
Be sure that this is something that you really want to do. I really want people that are committed to doing this because I love comic books. Comic right. books are my entire world. Since I was a little kid, I've absolutely loved them. I think it's a wonderful medium. I don't think that there's anything else out there like comic books. I think a lot of people get into it because they want to come up with the next TV show or the next movie, and I think that that's wrong. I just think that that's a sad way of going about it because with comics, you can do whatever you want. There's no budget, you know, to the special effects. And I think a lot of times when you start writing something in terms of trying to create a TV show, you start limiting your imagination. And with comics, there should be no limit. You can have whatever you want to do go on in those pages. And it's wonderful. It truly is the best medium. So be sure that this is what you want to do and come into it prepared to get feedback, negative and positive, so be able to take a critique. But be ready to grow as well and see how much of a better commercial artist you can become and be prepared to start working hard.
Awesome. If I wanted to find out information about the Joe Kubert School, where would I go?
Sure, you could check out kubertschool.edu or you could contact us at info@kubertschool.edu. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're all over the place. So
TikTok, please. Are you on TikTok?
I just
oh, you did?
TikTok, yeah. So
oh, great, I'm not on there, so.
I'm not sure about TikTok.
We'll work on some TikTok memes in the back.
Yeah. Okay.
It'll be great.
Oh, in the back?
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to be in the back for the rest of the show working on TikTok.
Just working on TikTok.
You hang out here with guys.
With these folks.
Yeah, it's all good.
I think maybe next time you come on, we should bring in some of our drawings and do a portfolio review.
That's a good idea.
If you guys got paper, we could do this right now.
No, we don't have paper right now. We don't have paper right now.
I mean, it would be really good if we did it, but
we don't have anything on any pens or anything.
Don't even.
I got some in the back.
Okay, great.
No. It's too far.
That's where the TikTok.
Yeah, it's the TikTok place. No. All right, let's move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah, we do.
And to the stack, we're going to talk about a couple of comic books we liked this week or had thoughts about this week. Starting off with Everything, number 3. This book has everything.
Yeah.
That's it.
It is wild.
It is wild.
That line is straight out of Stefan from SNL.
Good.
And this book is like a club that he hangs out in.
Very much so. If you didn't pick up the first two issues of this book, it takes place in this mall that's not even a mall. It seems to stretch on forever, called Everything. It has anything you'd want in it, but multiple things are happening at the same time. It's very hard to... It feels like... a dream that you're reading, but a very interesting dream.
I love it. It's so wild the way it moves in and out of sort of the characters and narrative things that are happening. The images are all sort of dream images. It feels like very Twin Peaks-y, if you're into that. Very cool.
Yeah, I'm interested to see, because it starts off like just like, look at how crazy this is. I'm interested to see where this goes and if it can really pay off such a big, expansive world.
It's just like walking into any Walmart.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I don't agree.
Because it's based on it's a store where they have everything there.
I didn't think you needed to elaborate. I think you said a thing, and then I say I agree, and then Pete says I don't agree, and then we're done with the discussion.
Yeah, don't give away our formula.
I mean, in the first...
our formula for success.
If in the first episode, it opens it up, and there's an old guy who's like, welcome to everything, you know, like a Walmart greeter.
Like welcome to Walmart.
Yeah.
Here's a crazy thing to tell you. These are actually called issues. issues, not episodes.
Wow.
I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
Pete.
That's cool.
I agree. Pete's in a great mood tonight. All right, let's move on.
He's got ants in his pants.
He's got ants in his pants. No, that's uncomfortable.
Cannibal
ants. I can see his foot shaking.
I know.
That's
they're all
nervous
collecting
foot
in
right
his
there.
Sock.
He's like, come on, move it through. Talk about Dr. Doom already. Well, I'm going to. Dr. Doom number two from Marvel Comics. This is a wild take on the Fantastic Four villain. Last episode, he got taken out of Latveria. He was framed for a murder.
It's called a paper episode.
Oh, okay, there we go. Framed for multiple deaths, I think.
Disaster. Yeah, he blew up a space station.
Except he didn't actually do it.
That's right. The missiles came from Latveria, the country he runs. He's exactly. The president. Anthony, you get it? He's
so this is this place. Take on Doom is a much more pissy Doom, I think.
Yeah, but also sort of a less confident Doom.
Right, which is interesting. What's your take on it, Pete?
Well, I feel like it's not Doom because it feels like not the Doom we know. But
it's a softer side of Doom.
Yeah, that's, you know.
Every Doom has his softer side.
Yeah, but do you really want to
see? Every Doom begins with D.
Wow.
Yeah. The fact that everyone knew what you were doing there is amazing and
it's
great.
It's a testament to me?
No, I think it's the Kiss Begins with K marketing campaign.
Yeah, okay. Like how well that marketing works.
I really do. Yeah. And because honestly, the name of the place is K.
Oh.
Very smart.
Yes, it is.
Because Kiss also...
I didn't know that.
It's about the band Kiss.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. It's like Bagel Bites.
Oh, please.
The Kiss Begins with K thing. Like,
oh,
I
say no more. You don't need to elaborate.
Great.
You say that. I say I agree. Pete says, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we're done, and that's the show. what were you saying about Doom, Pete?
I'm just saying I wasn't like, oh, you know, it'd be great about my favorite villain. But to see the softer
your
side.
Your favorite villain is Dr. Doom?
Yeah, you're goddamn right it is.
Really? I didn't know that about
you. Since when did that happen?
It's been a thing for a while.
You've never mentioned that in 13
years.
Well,
for some reason, you're paying attention more to what do I say in this episode.
This is called an issue.
Yeah, this is called an issue.
This is an issue of our podcast. I'm having issue with you. Yeah.
I like, you get to see behind the mask. Doom's got his mask off in this.
Yeah, I don't like a relaxed, laid back Doom.
He's not relaxed. He's very stressed out. He goes around New York City, which is fun. Yeah. That's where you live.
Yeah, yeah.
You can bump into your favorite
Kang building. Kang keeps popping in and be Kang. Like, hey, sorry, I'm in weird time periods right now. That's fun.
Yeah, love me some Kang.
All right.
I think this is a great... I love the different take on Doom, the fact that he's in a vulnerable spot where he's like, I don't know what happened here, and he can't figure it out. He does some cool magic.
I agree. This is definitely a weird, different take. Not for everybody. Definitely not for Pete, apparently, but I'm enjoying it as well. Last one to talk about. I was about to say City of Bane number 82, but this is Batman number 82.
Finally, we get to talk about Batman.
Wow. Is that sarcasm?
Do you think are you heckling this show?
Yeah, that's
what are
right.
You doing?
Yeah, I just
do you want to sit in the audience?
You purposely we haven't been talking about this issue for a while and we're finally getting to
we
talk
haven't
about
been talking about this issue that came out last week for a while.
Just came out. Yeah. We waited 6 days.
Yes. The one that came out the day after our show.
Yep.
So this being the first time we could have talked. So
no, we have another thing that we call the stack. Where we talk about things as well.
All right.
And you purposely didn't talk about this.
I just want to mention for anybody listening to our podcast at home, Pete is currently curled up like a ball.
Yeah.
He just unfurled like a pill bug, but he's going to go back to it soon enough.
Yep.
Boys.
Like that.
Boys.
Like he's protecting his stomach.
Boys.
It's fucking cold in here, bro. I don't know what to tell you.
All right. I'm just getting heated up.
So, Pete, this issue is clearly important to you. Why don't you tell us why?
Well, first off, City of Bane is an insane storyline that's going on, and this is King's kind of last hurrah. And I wanted to kind of talk about every issue because it's. I think he's going to go down as one of the great Batman writers, and the fact that you've been brushing this to the side has been eating at me a little bit. So I'm glad we're finally fucking talking about it.
What's crazy about it is we're 82 issues into Tom King's run.
Right.
It's not the end of his run at 85. He's going to be moving on to Batman and Catwoman, which is the continuation of the title. Mm-hmm. But it has been an epic run. There was a run of, I want to say, conservatively 50 issues in the middle there, where, Pete, you kept saying, why are we talking about this?
I don't recall that.
Wow. You don't recall those 50 or so issues in the middle where you were like, this is garbage and I don't like this?
I plead the fifth.
Wow. Pete is on trial right now. As, so sorry, this, he is threatened. His life is being threatened right now. Okay. I mean, this is great.
Wait, sorry, Pete, is this your copy?
Nope.
Okay, no, good. It's mine because the setter came out.
That's fucking heartbreaking.
There's so much artwork. Great storytelling.
Yeah, it's just fucking, pop it out of the seams.
Yeah, straight up.
This art. This is a good section though. Do you want me to draw on this? Would you do? This is my portfolio review.
That's Alex,
what do you think? I drew these pages for you.
Can we fucking talk about the issue, bro?
I'm sorry.
I also
just
drew that. Yeah, that MeTV Snickers ad in the middle.
Oh, cool move drawing an ad for your portfolio.
I mean, I want to sell myself.
As yeah, a smart
commodity.
God, to think we've spent all this time when we could be talking about this issue arguing about why we're not talking about the issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And then looking at Alex's artwork.
Yeah. And I think we've actually run out of time to talk
about
this.
No, so this is an insane issue. One of the things I want to talk about is the fact that Alfred, a couple issues before, has died, and Batman doesn't know that yet, and that's kind of driving me insane. Also, there is the final, we have like the big showdown between Bane and Batman, finally. It's been building and building.
Off. And then he's like, Venom.
Masks off. That was a fucking crazy,
masks off.
Yeah, like... Bane took his mask off, and Batman took his mask off, which was like...
Well, Bane already knows who Batman is.
Right, it's just a crazy thing to be like, mask off, motherfucker, and it's like, all right,
that's
fine.
That's badass.
Yeah. I'm trying to hide this for my whole life, but like, whatever, I'll take it off because you said no masks.
We're fighting on this podcast right now. I want us to take off our clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime I fight, I get it, I'm like, pants off, motherfucker.
Belts before this, and now I don't know what's going on with you, man.
If you want to... It's a confident move to be like pants off. This fight is pants off.
Yeah.
It's pants like off, that show. Off? Exactly. Pants off, dance off. Yeah. The biggest fight show on currently on TV.
That's definitely Fuse Network circa 1999.
And then in this issue, like Batman, you think like, oh shit, Batman's going to win. And he goes to break his back like the famous that happened to him by Bane. And then his dad interrupts the fight. Classic dad move. Always breaking up fights
He's
at the
like,
worst
boys,
time.
Boys, boys. Yeah, enough of this
shit.
I will say the thing that sort of bothered me about this issue is the fact that Bruce Wayne, Batman, was going to break Bane's back.
Really? That bothered?
That's not cool.
What? He did that to him?
That's not how...
That's fair?
Yeah.
No.
Lots of horrible shit has happened to him that Batman doesn't have to do back.
Yeah. I just think it's to me.
Haven't
it's out
you
of
ever
character.
Heard the famous saying "back for a back"?
Yeah. back for the, a back makes the whole world sort of crooked.
My chiropractor did say that when he broke my back.
Yeah.
You shouldn't.
And I was
have
like, I didn't break your back.
Wow.
But anyway,
okay. I just thought it's out of character for
it's
Batman.
It's in my insurance.
To
I thought it was very earned by Batman.
He earned the
right to back.
Well, what
break
did you think
back?
About the fact that I had my bigger problem? I love the storyline, and I think the art is fantastic throughout here. But
sure, now you say that.
It's called City of Bane. Bane has been the villain throughout here, but it seems like the actual ultimate villain is Thomas Wayne.
Yeah.
Because Thomas Wayne shoots Batman, shoots Bane at the end of the issue, and it seems like that's the reckoning they're dealing with.
Yeah.
No, but I mean. This whole time, like, Bane has been running the city, like, there are bad guys,
but,
cops, and, like, doing different shit.
But it seems like Bane is actually the puppet, and Thomas Wayne is the puppet master, perhaps indicated by this cover that when you open it up, Thomas Wayne is the puppet master for Bane.
Quite a metaphor there. You found.
Yeah, there you go. Really, I like to read into my comic books.
Yeah, that's good.
Or
smart.
Look at the cover.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. It makes sense. Batman's father from another dimension is also Batman.
It's just a little more confusing than just Bane versus Batman, which is such a clean rivalry.
You want it to be City of Batman's Daddy Issues?
Yes.
Weird title.
I mean, I didn't title that.
True.
Yes.
I thought it was out of character for Batman to do that. He's sort of like a bigger man and doesn't need to break the back of the dude.
Turns out it's not.
I guess not.
Yeah.
And that's it for the stack.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because I come out to you all. It's your audience questions. So raise your hand, ask a question either for our amazing guest or for absolutely anybody. If you have any questions for Pete, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer them. And you'll get some free comics. You, sir, right there. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin, and of course we've talked about Dr. Doom and City of Bane, and you know, which are, you know, well, Doom... particularly is a villain-based title. What are some of your favorite villain-based titles from history? And
Villain-based titles.
Villain-based titles
from history. So it doesn't have to be comic books. Now, it can be other.
You're like a big Lex Luthor guy. You love Lex.
Yeah, yeah, but I'm trying to think of like a really great Lex Luthor. Lex Luthor stories are usually, you know, so. There's that great one, though, where he shows up. It's not like in his own title, but he shows up at a diner. And there's a waitress there, and she's, you know, working. She's having a hard day, and her husband or her boyfriend or whatever is at home, and she's got some kids. And it's just a really tedious, just horrible life that she's got going for her. And so Lex Luthor shows up. He's sitting there in the diner, and he makes her an offer. Just come with me, and I'll give you money, but, you know, you've got 30 seconds or something to be outside. So she's thinking about it, and she goes, you know what, I'm going to do it. I'm going to run away with Lex Luthor and live and be happy with Lex Luthor. So as she's heading for the door, the car just peels out and Lex Luthor leaves. But like you find out that he made sure that he left like 5 seconds earlier. He just wanted to see her run for the door just to know that he broke somebody. And I'm just like, that's so evil and wonderful.
And you do that on the weekends now.
Yes.
horrifying.
No, that was a really good Lex. It just kind of tells you everything about the guy. It's not really about the money. It's not about really winning it. It's just breaking somebody's spirit. And he gets off on that. It's horrible.
No, he's fucked up, dude. Yeah.
I bring up this one all the time, but Superior Foes of Spider-Man was such a great title. Mm. This was very, very C or D list Spider-Man villains all getting together for a caper. It was written by Nick Spencer, and it was so twisty and so funny as it went throughout. I think it was like 20 or 30 issues, but they told one story over the course of it, and it just kept adding layers and layers of twists and betrayal to all of the characters. So much fun. Do you guys have answers?
Yeah. In the same way that Pete's favorite character is the Punisher, yours is Cypher. My favorite character is Starman, and the villains of Starman, there are two titles that were great. There was a standalone issue of The Mist that was part of a line-wide event, like a Year of the Villain type event. There was great The Mist murdering a bunch of heroes in a museum in France, I think, the Justice League Europe team. Great issue. And then the Shade miniseries from a 4-issue miniseries from like 2002 or something was just so good.
Yeah, that was great. Pete, do you have an answer?
I'm totally blanking.
But what about you, like Garth Ennis's Punisher? That's a good villain title.
What about Doctor Doom?
Yeah, I mean, there have been, like, some great kind of, like, stuff, but I nothing that's really kind of, like, sticking out to me right now. Yeah, I'm totally, completely blanking. I don't know.
Who's the Punisher's greatest villain? Society?
Ants in your pants?
Yeah.
He has a lot of, you know, like great villains, you know, like Jigsaw and stuff like that. So, you know,
it's regular people are sort of his villain.
Regular people? Why would regular people be his villain?
That's who he keeps killing.
He doesn't murder regular people.
Yeah, sure he does. Jaywalkers.
He
murdered Jay Leno during one of his jaywalking segments.
He killed Jerry Seinfeld during a Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee episode. Yeah.
Because he shouldn't be drinking or shouldn't be driving and filming at the same time.
Yeah, put down the coffee. One of the two.
Yeah. You know? Coffee's a controlled substance.
Sure is.
You don't have any villain?
I still don't. I appreciate you guys sort of ripping for me.
Okay, we'll loop back to this in like 5 minutes.
All right, cool.
Let's get one more question. One more question from anybody. You, sir, over there, come on down. What is your name and what is your question?
I am Pablo.
Yo.
Hey, Pablo.
Hello, Pete. Hello.
Hello.
Hello to you, too.
Oh, that's really nice.
I'm going to ask one of the most weirdest questions I'm ever going to ask in life.
Nice. So, buckle up.
Stakes high.
Yes, I will marry you.
No, thank you.
Oh, wow. Wow. Went from I love you. What a short romance.
What the fuck?
Great.
Ooh, okay. I bet it's how you propose your wife. My question is, what is the best and worst...
Wow. Alex, don't interrupt Pablo's question. Yeah.
What's that about? With your... He's not just ringing for no reason. My question would have to be this. What is the best and worst first issue of a comic you ever brought?
Best and worst.
Worst.
First issue of a comic.
That's the craziest thing?
That's
fucked up, man. Do you know what was also fucked up? I said yes to marry you, and you rejected me. That's the best and worst thing that's ever happened to me.
I would like to answer the previous question first. Thunderbolts was a really great kind of villain, well-done kind of thing. And they also did a great job with Speedball Penance on that one,
He's a hero, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My hero.
Best, worst, first issue?
Yes.
That's Major is that X. The same thing?
What's that?
Major X, number one.
Wow. That's which, now is that the best or the worst?
The best worst.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. And
best
of course,
worst. It's wonderful and horrible all at the same time.
This is Rob Liefeld's recent comic.
Yes. Oh, I love it.
Please explain.
I really love it. It's just a lot of shooting and big pouches, and the 90s are back
big
in one
pouches.
Issue, and it's incredible.
Yeah. If we're talking about a best worst first issue that at the same time, Superman and Batman versus Werewolves and Vampires, which does not, I think, if I remember correctly, have Superman and Batman in it. Wonder Woman is in it.
It focuses mostly on the werewolves and vampires.
Yes, it does. Pretty bad, but I think about it all the time.
Wow. What are you just like?
Just
it was
ludicrous.
Wild choices.
What was that one with like the Red Arrow where he lost an arm and they just kept screaming the same thing over and over again?
No Justice.
No Justice.
Was it Justice for All? Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was best about it?
There wasn't. I was just going with worst. Worst issue.
Just worst.
Great. Thanks, Pete. Yeah. Appreciate that. Great questions, everybody. And we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Mr. Ants in His Pants himself, Pete
Ants
LePage.
In His Pants.
All right, here we go. This is how trivia works.
Catching up.
All you have to do is answer three simple questions from Pete, and you're going to walk away with $25. All you have to do is walk up here. And you walk out with $25.
Yeah, raise your hand.
There's
we need
no
a volunteer.
Challenge here whatsoever. There's a hand right back there.
Yeah, yes.
Look, Alex is eating your lunch.
I'm just trying to...
Yeah, I appreciate it. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Pete is flipping out right now, and I'm just trying to mitigate this.
And let's keep in mind that Pete, the star of trivia, is wearing some lovely apparel here. Really great stuff. You can model that little bit for us, Pete. Comic book.
What, me?
Show him the front of the shirt, not your butt.
I'm just shaking my ass.
I love how you were presenting the forward only art, and then you just did the copper tone pose.
Yeah. Now Pete is actually wearing a hoodie that says Comic Book Club. You can get it at comicbookclub.threadless.com. It has a front and a back.
Thank you. All right, so today's trivia is sponsored by Mattel Comics.
That Pete ass you cannot order online. You have to come to New York City and see that shit in person. Again, pants off fight.
All right, here we go. So today's trivia is on comic news. Please listen to the question. Listen to all three possible answers. Get all three questions right. $25 yours. Whom is getting their own 5-issue series starting in February? Is it A, Falcon and Winter Soldier, B, Green Goblin and Vulture, or is it C, James Earl Jones and Richard Kind? So it's either A, or you could pick something else and be completely wrong.
I'm going to pick A.
That is correct.
Nice.
Let's see what Marvel's doing there. They have a show coming out, so then they're releasing comics.
On Disney Plus, which, as we know, debuted today.
Yeah, as we do know. I mean, he's been up since 5. All right.
Question
number 2. What comic is going twice monthly starting December? Is it A, Wolverine, B, Daredevil, or is it C, Peter Dinklage? So it's either A, Wolverine, or it's B, Daredevil.
I'm going to guess Daredevil.
You are correct, sir.
Choice.
Nice job.
There's no current Wolverine comic.
Yeah, but there is one coming up with a new logo, apparently.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Question number 3, the last one. There is another character getting a 5-issue series in February. Is it A, Gwen Stacy, B, Psylocke, or C, Mila Kunis? So it's either A, Gwen Stacy, which some people were like, you know, lukewarm about, you know, because MJ is really the... Or it's B, Psylocke.
I'm going to guess Gwen Stacy.
Yes, you are correct. $25 is yours.
Unbelievable.
Congratulations.
And as you may or may not know, Pete likes to use the trivia section to remind us of comedians who died before their time. Yeah. And he does that with the third answers in his questions. I believe we're on Robin Williams now.
We are on Robin Williams. Yeah, you really set this up nicely for me. So
hey,
I appreciate
no problem.
That.
I'll tell you what, you set yourself up. What are your third answers?
James Earl Jones and Richard Kind.
Yep.
Peter Dinklage and Mila Kunis.
Ooh, what movie were they in with Robin Williams, anybody?
Richard Kind.
Richard
think about
Kind.
Richard Kind.
Yeah, think about it. That's the important one to focus on.
Exactly.
And Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis.
And who was the other one?
James Earl Jones.
Anybody have the answer? Pablo, just shout it out.
No.
Millennium Man?
No, it's more recent than that.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, probably not that recent.
But again, it's not that recent because the star has died.
Right.
Which is part of the point of your trivia.
More recent than
the point of this trivia
Millennium.
Is that this star has died.
Right.
And now we're talking.
Yeah, and we're remembering him at our comic book talk show.
Yep. Hell yes.
Angriest Man in Brooklyn.
That's
there you go.
Right.
Wow. Never heard of that movie either.
That's great. I'm glad we brought that up. All right. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show.
Also, check out Dewey Comics.
Nice.
Thank you. Come on out to Dewey's Comic City over in Madison, New Jersey.
Yeah, there you go.
Very cool.
What are you looking forward to, Pete, here? Either at Midtown or Dewey Comics?
I'm looking forward to Ronin Island, number 8.
Oh, yeah. You love
Greg
that
Pak
one.
Is writing the crap out of that, and I'm very excited about it.
And as you all know, you hate Island, so this book must be pretty good.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
It happens in the book?
Well, it's this interesting thing where it's kind of like a story about a kid who's raised in a wealthy way and then a kid who's raised kind of not so wealthy and then also zombies. So it's kind of like a lot
yeah.
of different
Yeah, that's
things
not
going.
What the book's about. So there's an island where everybody has been raised as samurais and ronin. They end up fighting with these zombie soldiers and it wrecks a lot of their society. We learn a lot about their culture, where the zombies come from, and it mixes horror and action throughout.
I think you're being a little harsh that Pete is focused on the class issues.
Yeah, exactly,
comic.
You fucking all asshole.
Right. They're raised in a wealthy way, samurai,
yeah.
And in the not wealthy way, also somewhat samurai.
Yeah, that's a real city mouse, country mouse.
Yeah, rich samurai, yeah. Poor samurai.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They switch places and hijinks ensue.
Very much hijinks zombies.
What are you looking forward to, Justin?
So many different poses that Pete has taken today. It's great. You're like a moldable action figure.
What are you looking forward to, Justin?
Okay, wow. I'm looking forward to Batman's Grave, number 2.
Ooh.
Written by Warren Ellis, drawn by Brian Hitch. Great team. The art in this book is so fantastic. Fluid action. Really fun. There's a scene with Batman and Alfred in that later, and it is so good.
Yeah, and we'll have a review of that in our Stack podcast that rolls out in the Comic Book Club feed as well as its own Stack feed every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Another one we're going to have a review for is X-Men number 2, which I'm very excited about. These books have been wild so far, I've been loving just the amount of ideas that they've been putting in them. This one is no different. This is by Jonathan Hickman.
Hickman's lost his mind.
I love it. Like, I love not knowing what I'm getting into every week with these X-Men books. I think it's a great place to be. Anthony, plug your stuff. What should people be checking out from you again?
Well, first and foremost, definitely check out the Qbert School.
Mm-hmm.
Qbertschool.edu, like I was saying before. You can also follow us on Instagram. If you ever have any questions, reach out to us at info@qbertschool.edu. If you want to check out a comic shop while you're out in New Jersey, come on out to Dewey's Comic City, deweyscomiccity.com. We also have deweycc@gmail.com, so you can reach out to us that way. If you want to check out the Qbert School Art Store. You can go to Qbert School Art Store or qbertartstore.com or .edu, and that'll bring you there as well. We have a bunch of open houses.
Down
there's
websites.
A lot of stuff. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. There's a bunch. We're going to be having open houses in the spring. We always are inviting people in for tours. We've got the original Fleischer Brothers animation machine on display, a bunch of Joe Qbert original artwork as well.
Cool.
So come on by if you ever want to come out and take a peek and do a tour of the school. It's really a great place. And if you ever want to check out any of my things, I'm also on Instagram, Facebook. Just look up Anthony M. Marquis and look for the bald guy with gigantic eyebrows, and you can't miss me.
Excellent. A couple of things we want to plug before we go. The show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. So patreon.com/comicbookclub. We have a bunch of bonuses. You can join our Patreon Slack and chat about everything all day long. It's a lot of fun. We also have a monthly movie night, among other things. So it's a good time.
Very fun. Great time. Very good time. Hope
you can join us. We do a couple of other podcasts. Watchmen Watch, our Watchmen podcast, is rolling out twice a week in the Watchmen Watch feed. We are recapping episodes of the show, and then we have a bonus episode with guests that goes up every Thursday where we talk about theories and answer questions and other things. Also, Riverdale After Dark, our Riverdale podcast every Wednesday after that show airs. And what?
It's just that show's so funny.
Oh my God. It's very ridiculous. Very excited to talk about this week's one and plenty more from there. You can check out at comicbookclublive.com. Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
You can subscribe and comment on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Spotify, or the app of your choice. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Anthony for being on the show. Yeah. Boothman Prime. But most of all, we want to thank you all. We're here every single Tuesday night, totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Good night, guys. Thanks for coming out.
And they let the secrets leak. An occasion of the day.